Say amen.
Amen.
If God has been good all, as always, all the time. And we ought to be eternally grateful for that. Let me take a moment this morning before I get too much farther in. I want to thank some of the brethren this morning for those of you who go with myself and the rest of us to take communion to those who are sick. These brothers, and I'm not going to call their names, they already know who they are. But they take the time out of their busy Sunday afternoon and they go with myself and the other two or three of us, and we deliver communion to anyone that asks us to bring communion to them. And we don't ask you because we don't know if you want us to come or not. You have to let us know if you'd like us to bring communion by for you on any given Sunday. But these brothers, they have been together. The four of us have been together for a good little while right now. And I think it's very pleasant for those of us who go together. But it's also a lifting up for the persons that we go to see. And I may as well tell you, we have been going to see Brother Paul Davis here recently. And Brother Paul, to me, I don't know how he's doing when I'm not there, but he seems to be getting a little bit stronger each time I see him. I don't know if any of you have taken the time to call Brother Paul, but I'm sure he would appreciate your call, as with any sick person. Give them a call and just ask them how they're doing. You don't have to have a long essay drawn out and written up for them, but just ask them how they're doing and continue to let them know that you will continue to pray for them. And then that would make you feel better inside, and also I'm sure it would make that person feel somewhat better. So let us remember to call the sick. And while I'm there, I talk with Sister Jelks. Sister Jelks has lost an uncle, and she's not going to be here today. She's going to be en route for a funeral on, I believe it's Monday. So let us remember to pray for those who have lost loved ones as well. And if you want me to make any kind of announcements when I stand before you, you have to let me know. I'm not a mind reader. I can't guess. And that's not a negative comment. That's just certainly a reality comment. So let me know if you, or let someone at the church know if you need us to make an announcement on your behalf. Let us take a moment as we go to God in prayer. O righteous and wonderful Heavenly Father, you have blessed us once again. You have given us the right to come out and the privilege to come out to be among those who are serving Thee, O Heavenly Father, in spirit and in truth. I thank You this morning, Father, not only for the waking up, but for the getting up and the getting out and getting ready and getting out to be able to come to Your house. I thank You for the household of faith everywhere, especially the household of faith that are serving You in spirit and in truth. I thank You, O Heavenly Father, for these leaders at this congregation and their families. I thank You this morning, Father, for each and every member here and their families. I thank You in particular, O Heavenly Father, also for those brethren who make the services just what they are by participating. And I thank You for them and their families as well. This morning, Father, we want to pray for the sick and the shut in and ask of You that if it be Your will, that You would grant unto them strength, Father, to continue on. I pray for those who have lost loved ones that You may strengthen their families. And I pray, O Heavenly Father, for the violence that's plaguing our cities, especially this city in which we live. Father, when the sunshine came out, so did all the troubles. And Father, we just pray and ask You to take a look down upon us this morning and continue to bless us and be with us. Continue, O Heavenly Father, to give us Your strength, Your mercy, Your love, Your grace, and Your kindness, O Lord. Continue, Father, that we may continue in the faith. Help us, Father, to be faithful, and help us, Father, to know right from wrong and to know what Your will is for our lives and to do that, just what that will is. Father, we thank You this morning for all who are here under the sound of our voice this morning, and we pray and ask for strength for each and every one of them also. Then, my Heavenly Father, we pray and ask You to bless the parents who are raising their children. We pray for them that they may have strength as well. Then, my Heavenly Father, once again, we pray for those who are sick and shut in, those who may be traveling this week, and those who may be going to and from today, that they may have safe passage to and from. Thanking you right now, Heavenly Father, for all the days of our lives. And we're continuing to pray and ask that you continue to bless us with future days. In the name of your Son, Jesus, who went to yonder's cross, we ask all these blessings and more. Let the church say amen. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from John chapter 15 in verse number 19. I'll reread it for you. If ye were of the world, the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. This morning we are in the world, but we are in the world, but not of the world. Our duties as Christians is to show through our own life the life of Jesus Christ. We are not meant to live by ourselves. And all I'm simply saying is that we need to understand that we must present the Lord to those who don't know the Lord. We must live our lives so that those who don't know the Lord can see Him through us and watch our actions, that we may present Him as the faithful and wonderful Savior that He is. Today's text speak of being not of the world. Again, that does not mean that we must alienate ourselves. Instead, it means we are to be present. We are to present our lives that others may want to know who we are and whom do we serve. It means for us to let the world know that there is a better way. Once again, the scripture in John chapter 15 in the verses number 19, the Bible continues to tell us that we must teach of our birth. Yes, we all came to this earth in the same manner. None of us came here any differently than anyone else. Each and every one of us came here in the very same manner. But we must have our other birth as well. There's little doubt that when you try to explain to others of your other birth, you will be met by dismay and by none understanding. We must explain it in simple terms that most should be able to understand. Tell them my first birth like yours brought us into this world and into the blood and physical family that you belong to. Our other birth, on the other hand, puts us into the family of God. And watch as Jesus explains it in his interview with Nicodemus. In John chapter 3, starting with verse number 1 and following, just who you might inquire was Nicodemus. Well, verse number 1 tells us he was a man of the Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews. He was a learned man, a scholar, if you will. Even though their principles were contrary to Christianity, some were obedient to Christ nevertheless. But in verse number 2 of John chapter 3, go over to John chapter 3 with me, if you will. In John chapter 3, in verse number 2, look what the Bible says. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So when he came to Jesus by night, I believe that one of the reasons that he came by night was that he preferred a one-on-one with Jesus. This is why sometimes I let people know that sometimes you have to have a talk with Jesus all by yourself. You don't need the church to be with you for that talk with Jesus, but you need to just go to him to let him know that you are coming to him all by yourself. I believe that part of Nicodemus' thoughts were also not only of himself, but of that of protecting Jesus from further dissensions from the chief priests. So Jesus presents to Nicodemus the guidelines on how that one must be born again. This is why I told you earlier that many will be confused. We must be ready to explain to them just as Christ was about to explain to Nicodemus. Nicodemus did not understand. Even with all of his scholarly learning, his prominence, he could not see how one could be born again. Look at verse number 4. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born again? Not by entering into his mother's womb to be born is not what Jesus was talking about. We must not confuse being with our spiritual birth with our Christian or our spiritual birth. We must not try to match up our physical birth with our spiritual birth. We've got to understand. Watch verse number 5. Jesus answered. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So what Jesus was telling him is that he has to be born all over again, but not physically born all over again. If you look at Titus chapter 3 and verse number 5, the Bible says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." Let others know that we are not travelers, that we are not permanent residents, but we are travelers in this world. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 20, "For our conversation is in heaven, where we look for our Savior, Jesus Christ." We're not meant to stay here forever, church. We've got to accept the fact that we must be born again if we ever want to get to heaven. When you think about it, church, when you think about what Jesus is explaining to Nicodemus, it's very simple. Back to verse 5 again. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." You've got to accept the fact that in order to get into God, there's a proper way to get into God, to become a member of the Lord's body and to be a part of his body. It's not just a simple matter that I can walk into church and I can say that I want to be a Christian. It doesn't work that way. There's some procedures that must be followed. So not only are we to have another birth, but we also must accept our calling. The call goes out to all. Some accept and some reject it. Too many have ears, but they do not heed the calling of Jesus. Jesus said it best in John chapter 5 and verse number 40. "And you will not come to me that you might be saved." You will not come to me that you might be saved. The reason that some won't come may be found in the words of Jesus in John chapter 10, starting around verse number 26, where Jesus said, "You believe not because you are not of my sheep." In other words, if you are not a sheep of Jesus, then guess what? Either you are with Jesus or you are against Jesus. And you may say, some may say, "Well, I'm not necessarily against him." Well, you can't sit in the middle and be on the fence. You've got to commit one way or the other. For those who have chosen to accept the call, those who have accepted God at his word, you'll notice what Jesus says in John chapter 27 and verse number 28. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Everyone likes a payoff when there's something hanging out before them. So here it is in verse number 28. "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Now those who know Jesus, and those who Jesus knows, he knows whom they are, and he calls them his sheep. In Psalms number 100, you all know Psalms 100, where the Bible tells us it is God who made us. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. Yes, God knows his own. He knows our wants. He knows our desires. And he even knows of our troubles. He offers eternal life. And that means freedom from eternal destruction. No man can remove us from his care. We are his, and we are safe as long as we stay in his care. Only we can remove ourselves from his hand by becoming disobedient. He chose us according to Ephesians 1. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Jesus tells us that we are his, given to him by his Father. His Father is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father and I are one. according to John chapter 29 and chapter 10 and verse 29 and 30. God is greater than the enemies who would try to destroy the world and try to destroy even the church. He is greater than Satan and hell combined. He is greater than all men. And we must learn to accept the fact that God is good not only sometimes, but God is good all the time. God is great and God is wonderful. But you know something, church? Unless you truly mean that, there's no reason just to repeat it as idle words. You must believe that God is good and God is great. God is wonderful. God is our everything. How could I get by without God? How could I make it on a daily basis without God? And not only that, but when you go back to John chapter 15 and verse number 19, the Bible tells us there, Jesus is speaking, by the way, here. He said, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. You don't understand sometimes why people seem to be so against Christian folk. Christian folk sometimes seem to have a hard time. They seem to have a hard time because the world hates you. The world hated Jesus Christ. So they're going to hate you as well. Didn't he just say that? Therefore the world hated you. When you try to preach Jesus and teach Jesus to somebody, you're going to get some dissensions, especially to someone who is so rooted in the world. When you try to tell someone about the love of Jesus Christ, it's hard for them to understand. It's hard. It was hard for me to understand it. It's hard for me sometimes now to even understand it, even though I know how great God is. But sometimes I ask the question of myself, God, how can you be so good to us when we're so bad toward you? But yet God is our source. God is the source for all of our strength, as well as our hope. Christians. Christians many times fail to understand that we are going to be hated by the world. We are going to be hated because Jesus explained to his disciples that if they were of the world, they would be loved by the world. Christians need to understand that God's glory sets us at odds with the world. We belong to Christ. And we are set apart. May I remind us of the one example of strength? And you all know this. I've used this before. But you all, if you are Bible studiers, you know in 2 Corinthians in chapter 12, around verses 7 through 9, where that the Apostle Paul, who had been suffering with what he called a thorn in his flesh, three times the Apostle asked that it be removed from him. And every time he asked, he was rejected of it being moved from him. And what I'm trying to say is that every time we get sick, every time we get hurt, or every time we are troubled, God may not remove the problem. But watch what he told Paul as Paul was hearing him in verse number 9. He told Paul, he said, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient for you. Church, when we have all but God's grace, that is enough for us to get through. Grace is good. Grace is what saved us, according to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 5. By grace we are saved. Yet let us not confuse grace with mercy. Mercy is compassion, which when you notice again in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 4, God is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, and because he loved us enough to send his own son to die for us. As I always tell you, I repeat it every time I say it, I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have sent my son, and if I was the son, I would have had an argument with Daddy and tell him, Daddy, I don't think I'm going down there to save them. They're too evil. But God loved us so much that he sent his own son to save us. Therefore, when we have grace, we have the sufficiency enough to get by. Grace is what Paul was given, was told by Jesus. My grace is sufficient. Though He may not always answer us the way we want Him to answer us. Though we may not get what we like to consider as closure today. Though He may not give us just what we, may not take away just what we want Him to take away. If He gives us grace, that's sufficient enough to enlighten us. It gives us strength, and grace may even be better than complete removal of the situation when you think about it. For grace helps us to stay humble. Grace helps to keep our hearts and minds on Him. Grace, when we have God's grace, we can be glorified in our trouble. And that's part of what the world don't understand. Why is he walking around smiling and he got all kind of troubles over his head? But grace will make you smile when you don't seem like you can garner up a smile. Grace would help us to get through our day. I speak, church, of grace because I know how great grace is. I know how good grace is. I understand that grace is something that we all need at some times in our lives. And grace, I said, is better than the cure sometimes, because grace gets our hearts and minds just where I just explained to you, gets us stayed on Jesus. When we are sick, grace can do for us what medicine can't do for us. Grace can give us strength to bear. All one can say is I'm hurting, but I'm hurting with the grace of God. If I'm hurting and I got grace, I can make a statement about God. If I'm hurting and don't have grace, I don't want to say anything about God, because it probably means that I don't know God. And I may be a part of the world. I may be, as Christians, we are in the world, but we're not of the world. We live in the world, but we're not of the world. We live in this world because this is where God put us in this world. Now, He's got a better place for us, though, church. If we but just follow His guidelines, if we just stick to the Word of God. People who don't believe don't know what they're missing. People who don't believe, they don't know the joy of being in Christ, who is also not of this world. Yet He journeyed to earth to save all who will come to Him. And I like... in John 17. Turn with me, if you will, over to John chapter 17. Look at John chapter 17. These words Jesus spake and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. And Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should have give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is life eternal, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. But I want you to notice verse 5, where I just said Jesus was not of the world. Listen to this. And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. See, He was around long before this world was. Jesus was not of this world, even though He came into this world. If anyone does not know Jesus and the pardoning of their sins, they need to come to know Jesus. When you go back to John chapter 15 again and look at verse 19 again, and we reread that text, it says, if you were of the world would love his own. You know how many folk understand that to mean that's why I have such a good time in my life, because I don't know Jesus. That's what they're saying. They may not use it in those words, but all the good time Charlies of the world, they don't know Jesus. That's why life to them is a bowl of cherries, if you will. But life with Jesus means you've got to commit yourself to something. And when you commit yourself to something, you are usually saying, I'm going to follow that something that I'm committing to. And as Christians, we are to commit our lives to Jesus Christ and then follow Jesus Christ. When you're not of the world, the text says the world hates you. The world hates you because you're not like them. You're not like the world. And sometimes I don't say that it shouldn't, but I don't say that it never runs through the mind of a Christian. It seems that I can have so much fun if I just let the church go, let Jesus go. And I heard somebody make the comment this morning, doing right is not always fun. Well, doing right is not supposed to be fun. You're not in this for the fun of it. You're in this for the saving of your eternal soul. When you think about it, doing right can have some fun aspects to it. Because guess what? In the end, when I get picked to go to heaven, oh yeah, and I count myself there already. When I get picked to go to heaven, and when you get picked to go to heaven, that's where the fun begins. That's where it's going to be all right. That's where everything is going to change then. When the Lord stands before us and says, you go to the left and you go to the right, then you'll see how much fun it was while you were here on earth having all of your fun. I'll tell you something. Hell is not a fun place to be in. Not according to what I've read in the text. What I've read in the text is that it's going to be gnashing of teeth and you're not going to be happy there. So that's not going to be any fun either. What I've read in the Bible, what I studied in the Word of God, what I've looked at when I go back and look at verse number 19 of John 15. If ye were of the world would love his own. You want to be loved by the folk in the world? Get out there in the world. You want to be loved by the Master Jesus Christ? Stick with the Master Jesus Christ. Because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. God chose us. He chose his people to be Christian folk. He chose us to be not of the world, but he couldn't separate us from the world. He separated us from the world of sinful living, but he couldn't take us off this earth or out of this world. Not yet, anyway. When you come to think about it, one day when time shall be no more, then you may have a better understanding of this. Perhaps you'll have a better understanding of what is meant by the world hated you. The world hates you because you don't know them and you're not part of them. I'm in the world as the rest of us are, but I'm not of the world. I know that some of us like to, every now and then, we like to question things. We like to ask the question every now and then, would my life be better as a Christian or would my life be better as a sinner? Well, each and every person has to answer that question themselves. But I'll tell you one thing, church. If I had to live my life as a Christian or as a sinner, I'll take being a Christian any day. It may not once again be fun, but it is right. If you don't know Christ in the pardoning of your sins this morning, you need to come to know him. And then there are those who would say, well, it just seems as though the world has so much fun. It seems as though they are enjoying themselves. So, well, if you think staying up all night, staying out, hanging out all night is fun, that's your idea of fun. That's not my idea. I was offered a job one time. They said, you can work the overnight shift. And I asked my boss point blank. I said, you mean and stay up all night? I told him, no, ma'am, no thank you. I appreciate it, but no. Well, you get a lot more benefits and a lot more perks. Well, I said, I'll just take the sleep over the perks. I'll just stick with what I've got. Staying up all night is not fun, whether you're working or having so-called fun. Staying up all night is not a good thing to do. When you wake up in the morning, you can't seem to get up after staying up all night. And people who stay out all night on Saturday nights, 12 o'clock is not sleeping in too late to them. That means I'm trying to catch up. Well, I got some news for you. When you've lost sleep, you can't catch up with sleep. You can sleep a little bit longer, but you can't catch up with sleep. It's already gone. When you are out in the world and you're having all of this fun and you are trusting your life in the hands of the world, that's not a good thing. I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. How then, preacher, do I become a part of the ministry of Jesus Christ? How do I become part of the body of Jesus Christ? How do I get with the church folk? How do I get with the folk who say they are doing right and trying to live their righteous life? Well, you come by hearing the gospel, believing it, repenting of your past sin, confessing Christ to be the Son of the living God, and finally going down in the watery grave of baptism right behind me. And if you've already done that, but years, somewhere down the line, in your years of walking on this earth, and walking in this life, you've fallen astray. You've fallen off the right path. And you need to get yourself back up. Come back. Ask God to forgive you. Come back to the church. Ask the church to pray for you that you may gather strength as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
Number 538.